As the music fades and I find myself staring blankly into space, I know that's my cue to say this is Clockwork Wireless on 90 FM. this at Cheeky Chappy Prince and 1999. It is indeed Clockwork Wireless on 90 FM. Terry Anderson here with you once again. One of the most bizarre news stories this week features a couple who were arrested by police in Leicester early this week when this couple were discovered making love on the roof of a car in a Leicester car park. It sounds very uncomfortable to me, I must say, but I was thinking, I hope the car didn't have a roof rack or it could have been very nasty. But the funniest thing is that they haven't been charged for indecent exposure or anything. They've been charged with criminal damage because they dented the roof of the car. And it wasn't their car. The bloke said that they chose it because it had a vinyl roof. Which I think is marvellous, really bizarre. But this really leads us on to the oddest quote of the week, which is from Zsa Gabor, who said, "Personally, I know nothing about sex because I've always been married." Well, I think this may not be the best advertisement for marriage, but it seems to tell us something about Miss Gabor. Also this week I see that the Soviet Union and Czechoslovakia are reported to be introducing a British-style banking system. Presumably this will mean going into a bank where they will check checks. Very clever. But finally, if ever you're hitching a lift and by some chance Mrs. Thatcher stops her car and invites you in, my advice is don't risk it. Because I saw Mrs. Thatcher being interviewed on a golf course earlier this week, and she said, "I simply don't understand the language of U-turns." So if you see someone trying to turn a car round in the middle lane of the M25, blame Mrs. Thatcher's driving instructor. That's what I say. Well, in a programme tonight crammed with unprecedented excitement, we have music from Susie and the Banshees, Doris Day. It's Doris Day. The new single from Squeeze, whatever, and much, much more. We're going to speak of weather forecasters. Our classic clangers come from the cricket commentary box of Test Match Special, and we have more bizarre stories from the week's news. And our series of 1967 retrospectives ends tonight with a memory from 1969. Confused? You will be on Clockwork Wireless 90 FM.
Dancing with a dreaming heart.
Mark Wallace, 90 FM, and that's The Mission, or The Mish, as they're known to their chums, and their tribute to the great Spanish golfer Severina Ballesteros, or not as the case may be. Also a little bit later on, we have the topsy-turvy, upside-down world of the intrepid Birdmen. All coming up on Clockwork Wireless 90 FM. You can't beat it. Well, I also see that on the front page of this week's Woman magazine, not a publication I actually subscribe to, I just happened to come across this, I see that Annika Rice is quoted as saying on the cover of Woman magazine, "I'm no sex symbol." Well, she said it, not me, she said it. But you know, a funny thing happened the other evening. I switched on the TV and Annika Rice wasn't on. I don't know, perhaps she took a day off to do the interview with Woman magazine. Who knows? Not me. Now, last year, I went to see Rowan Atkinson's one-man show in London, where he sang a song dedicated to the weatherman Michael Fish. The most memorable line of this song was, "Michael Fish, he's a dish." Well, I think perhaps only Mrs. Fish could confirm that idea. But what I want to know is why the BBC TV weathermen have to turn reporting the weather into a cabaret act. I mean, I don't need a song and dance routine. I just want to know if it's going to be sunny or rainy tomorrow and what the temperature is likely to be. And it's interesting that on ITV, after the news, they're able to tell you just that information and get the whole thing over with in 10 seconds. But on BBC, you get Michael Fish, who I think shares a tailor with Wurzel Gummidge. I mean, let's not mince words here. I always think a bomb has gone off in his wardrobe and he's come out wearing whatever landed on top of him. And you also have John Ketley, whose voice suddenly dives an octave before normal service is resumed. But the most distracting figure of all on BBC TV weather must be Ian McGaskill. There he is with his owlish features. "Hello," he says. And I sit there open-mouthed as he delivers the forecast, and I realise only when he's finished that I haven't taken in a word he said. League tables of today's rainfall are produced. They tell us where they're going for their holidays, these weathermen. They give you racing tips, and they show you slides of when they went hang gliding. But all we want to know is it going to rain tomorrow? But to be fair, weather forecasting can be a hazardous business.
Your weather, cloudy with scattered showers.
And now the weather forecast until midnight to tonight.
Tonight will start fine.
And the weather, very warm this afternoon with temperatures well up into the 70s Fahrenheit. The outlook for tomorrow continuing very warm with a chance of scattered thunderstorms. Scattered thunderstorms.
Now every time I go for the mailbox,
Clockwork Wireless. It's the only place to be. Terry Anderson here. That's Katrina and the Waves, Walking on Sunshine. Well, barely had Coventry City placed the FA Cup in their trophy cabinet at the end of last season than the whole football circus has started over again. There's really something rather obscene about these sports headlines being dominated by soccer when the full glory of the cricket season is reaching its climax. Football is nothing to compare with the visual poetry of cricket, the breathtaking beauty of a David Gower off drive, or the majestic power of Ian Botham, or the gazelle-like grace of Michael Holding running into bowl. As the football commentators dust off their cliches for another season's hysterical delivery, how pleasing to tune in to Test Match Special on Radio 3, where time stands still and where there always will be honey still for tea. More than any other species of commentator, the cricket expert will have his words analysed in depth by the listening public. Only the other day, Trevor Bailey boldly stated, "There is only one result possible here, either a win for the MCC or a draw," which sounds suspiciously like two possible results to me. But how I wish I had a recording of the time Brian Johnson was describing the action when Peter Willey was facing the bowling of Michael Holding. "The bowler's holding the batsman's Willey," intoned Brian Johnson to an incredulous radio audience. I don't have that one, but I do have a delicious moment with Henry Blofeld commentating when his producer arrived with a tray of drinks.
Well, the time is now coming up to 24 minutes to 2, and we'll go back to Lord's, and the man waiting to fill us in, having had a very good lunch, I sincerely hope, is Henry Blofeld.
Good afternoon to you all from Lord's. Yes, indeed, from Lord's. We had an extremely good lunch. The England players are coming out, Gower and Bob Taylor. The umpires are out there, David Constant waiting patiently at square leg in a sitting position. Mosin is 64. He it is who's going to take strike now from Ian Botham, who's doing some of those splendid exercises patented by Alan Knott. And our producer comes into the box and kicks over two chairs and three glasses, hence the noise.
Once again, the golden rule of broadcasting invoked there. It went in trouble. Keep waffling on. Something I often fall back on myself. Henry Blofeld there on a damp wicket, so to speak. More from Henry later on. But now the new single from Squeeze on Clockwork Wireless.
Little red braids of sand. But why to stop? No one turning heads. Little red beyond.
Take Me to the Bridge. That's a good new single from Squeeze, Hourglass. Probably won't be a hit, but that's the price you have to pay for being clever, I suppose. I see it was the birthday yesterday of Steve Davis, the world snooker champion. No doubt he was out last night painting the town red, yellow, green, brown, blue, pink and black. But regular listeners will know, you will know that I have a theory that much of America is populated by people who are stark raving bonkers. Many Americans are forever whining on about relationships and harmonic convergence and so on and the like. The latest fad is to find new ways to bring unattached people together to avoid the need to hang around in bars hoping to meet someone. To cash in on this trend, supermarkets in America are now arranging singles nights, and the current American edition of Cosmopolitan magazine reports that Mrs. Judy Tilardo, who's the US national organizer of the Stop and Shop late night supermarket chain, which are a bit like our 7 to 11 shops over here, she says the single nights are a fabulous success. Our customers are normal, good-looking, professional people. Lawyers, accountants, insurance specialists, and so forth. I don't know if that's particularly normal, but there you are. They like to shop where the lights are bright and the heels are high. If you're after a cosy type, you pile your trolley with 5-pound bags of dog food, say. And Mrs. Tilardo says, I would feel a lot better about waking up with someone I met while fingering a juicy melon in the deli than one with nicotine in the left hand and alcohol in the right. But it's not just sex either, she says. People have a really good time. It's not unusual to see a wild conga line of happy, laughing shoppers snaking down the baking goods aisle and dancing back past the kitty litter shelves. Well, I think a more incongruous sight is hard to imagine. I would think the chances of finding your life partner in such circumstances are very remote indeed. As I've remarked before, the only people I come into contact with in the supermarket are women determined to ram their trolley into my ankle, and a very good job they make of it too. But time now for the last in our series, where we've been looking back 20 years to the days of flower power, hoopy hippies, the age of Aquarius, and so on. Incidentally, I notice, we've been running this series over about 6, 7, 8 weeks now, I notice that in about a week's time, a London radio station is dedicating a day to looking back 20 years to 1967. So we got in quick there. Now, it could be argued that the hopes of the Love Generation, battered by the Vietnam War and wounded at Kent State University, they finally died at the Woodstock Festival, where several hundred thousand people lived in a foot of mud for 3 days, while a handful of entrepreneurs made a great deal of money from their discomfort. Some people died, some were born at Woodstock. The Who came on stage having had their drinks spiked with huge doses of hard drugs. And Jimi Hendrix told the crowd that if they didn't like what he was playing, they could F off. Put the mild version there, which was pretty difficult, submerged in mud and surrounded by thousands and thousands of other love children. Here then, from the soundtrack of the Woodstock movie, is Arlo Guthrie, and listen out particularly for his ludicrous comments to the crowd after his dopey but memorable song.
Coming in from London, from over the pole, flying in a big airliner. Chicken flying everywhere around the plane. Could we ever feel much finer? Coming into Los Angeles, bringing in a couple of keys. Don't touch my bags if you please, Mr. Customs Man. There's a guy with a ticket to Mexico. No, he couldn't look much stranger. Walking in a hall with his things and all, smiling, said it was a Lone Ranger. Coming into Los Angeles, bringing in a couple of keys. Don't touch my bags if you please, Mr. Customs Man. Thank you. tripping on the escalator. Every man in the line, and she's blowing his mind, thinking that he's already made her. Coming into Los Angeles, bringing in a couple of keys. Don't touch my bags if you please, Mr. Customs Man.
Yeah, it's far out, man. I don't know if you, I don't know, like how many of you can dig how many people there are, man. Like I was rapping to the fuzz, right? Can you dig it? Man, there's supposed to be a million and a half people here by tonight. Can you dig that? New York State Thruway is closed, man. Yeah, a lot of freaks.
What a dope. That's Arlo Guthrie coming into Los Angeles, far in, far out, and far out of his head, I think. But that concludes our look back at the age of Aquarius, as I said earlier. But next week we'll start a new series. I think perhaps we'll look at some comedy classics and not just the obvious stuff over the next few weeks. Now, there's a standing joke amongst people at Clockwork Wireless that whenever anyone phones me up, I'm always out taking my dog for a walk. Well, the truth is that it's my dog, actually, that takes me for a walk. But every day, my dog loves to go for a tramp in the woods. Yes, my dog just loves it. The tramp's getting pretty fed up, though. You can't beat the old ones, can you? Well, I'd like to dedicate the next record. This is very serious here now. I'd like to have a moment's silence, really, because I'd like to dedicate the next record to one of my friends who's actually lost his dog this week. It's very sad. But he's put an advert in the local paper. But actually, I think that's rather stupid, because, I mean, the dog can't even read. And anyway, continuing to bring you the highlights of the news from around the world this week, I read that a shopkeeper in Milan, Italy, has been in court this week charged with selling as Parmesan cheese a substance which experts found to be grated umbrella handles. This probably explains why I've never been very fond of minestrone. But, you know, I was just thinking about my girlfriend there for a minute. You know, she really reminds me of a film star. Yeah, Lassie. Which leads us nicely, actually, to the story that Elizabeth Taylor was this week voted runner-up to a dog in an American contest for Most Memorable Eyebrows of 1987. Celebrity magazine in America reported that its readers had placed the canine film star Lassie first, Elizabeth Taylor came second, Most Memorable Eyebrows of 1987, and former US Vice President Walter Mondale was third. I don't know how many votes Helen Worth of Coronation Street got, but she would win any similar poll in this country by a mile. Now, whenever I mention that we've had a write-up about the station in the papers or a magazine, lots of you write in and ask where you can get a copy. Well, this week we get a very favourable review in that excellent magazine Radio Today. So I'd like to thank them for their kind words. And I thought I'd tell you where you can get hold of a copy if you wish to, save you writing in to me and me having to pass it on to you. It's apparently on sale, incidentally, at the Virgin Megastore in Oxford Street. But in case that's sold out or you might find it easier to send off for a copy by post, I'll give you the address. The address for Radio Today is TX Publications, BCM, Box 225, London, WC1N3XX. And apparently you have to enclose £1.50 to cover the cost of the magazine and postage. I'll try and remember to give you the address of Radio Today again a bit later, in case you didn't have a chance to write it down there. And you can send off for a copy and find a really nice review about Clockwork Wireless in that very same paper. Now, here's a great record from The, which has a particular relevance to current events in the Middle East. This is called Sweet Bird of Truth.
This plane's still awake. You can almost smell the blood.
This must be the only radio station in the world where people have 10-minute discussions about whether to actually make more toast or not. I think the pro-toast brigade have won today. We just heard the and Sweet Bird of Truth on Clockwork Wireless 90 FM. Terry Anson here. I really like that band a lot, the Matt Johnson and cohorts. Excellent stuff. Sweet Bird of Truth. Intrepid Birdman coming up a bit later on. We'll probably have a word with him. In a short while, oh my God, fathers, in a short while to find out what the devil he's been up to and what he will be up to in his programme this week. Just keep going, Terry, just keep going, man. There was a fascinating programme on Channel 4 during the week documenting the career of that fine actress, Natalie Wood, who died so tragically when she went overboard off her yacht a few years ago. But it reminded me of that really bad taste joke that did the rounds at the time, what wood doesn't float? Yep. Natalie Wood. Tasteless, but nothing sacred in this programme. But returning to our sporting theme now, I was listening to Woman's Hour earlier this week, as one does, well, as I do. And Sue McGregor was interviewing Laura Davis, the golfer, who's just won a major tournament for women in America. Well, Miss McGregor revealed her knowledge of golf was virtually nil when she asked Laura Davis, "Does your caddy advise you which club to use on the greens?" Which anybody who's ever held a golf club will know. That's an incredibly ridiculous question to ask anybody. But clearly Sue McGregor is to golf what the Ayatollah Khomeini is to international diplomacy. But let us now return to cricket, the sport of kings. But obviously, Henry Blofeld doesn't believe that cricket is the sport for the Queen.
India's collapse began soon before tea. The score was 17 when Parker was LBW to Botham. During the tea interval, both sides were introduced to the Queen in front of the pavilion, but worse, a great deal worse, was to follow afterwards for India.
I think I'd send him to the Tower for that. I think he can also forget any chance of a knighthood for services to Queen and country. Now, if I was to ask you, what are the best-selling oldies at the HMV shop in London, would you be able to tell me? I thought not. Let me then tell you that this year's best-selling golden oldies at HMV Records in Oxford Street, London, are number 10 bestseller, Dock of the Bay, Otis Redding, The Platters, Smoke Gets in Your Eyes at 9, we'll come back to number 8, number 7, Why Do Fools Fall in Love, Frankie Lyman and Teenagers, Stand By Me, Benny King at 6, Dion and the Belmonts, The Wanderer at 5, fourth best-selling oldie is Wonderful World, Sam Cooke, Heard It Through the Grapevine, Marvin Gaye at 3, When a Man Loves a Woman, Percy Sledge at 2, and La Bamba, the original version by Ritchie Valens, soon to be featured in a film, at number 1. But at number 8, one of my favourite singles of all time, the delightful Doris Day, Move Over, Darling.
Our lips shouldn't touch.
Move over, darling.
I like it too much.
Move over, darling.
That gleam in your eyes is no big surprise anymore. 'Cause you fooled me before. I'm more in a spin.
Move over, darling.
About to give in. Somehow, 'cause I want you right now. You sigh, has me waving my conscience bye-bye. You can call me a fickle thing, but I'm practically
I think I fell in love with Doris Day when I was about 3 or 4 years old. The infatuation didn't last. I soon moved on to Helen Shapiro and it was Sandy Shaw. And then it was Sarah Green and then Carol Thatcher. I don't know, I love these women from afar. I don't know. If ever you've have reason, either way, I should tell you, to visit Bolivia, I know it's probably not something that's going to crop up in your life in the next week or two, but if ever you do have to go to Bolivia, be sure that you don't become ill and need to go to hospital. A magazine called Here and Now reports that having visited Dr. Jamie Lurinda for a facelift, Miss Jenita Zarto, a 40-year-old Bolivian actress, woke up to find that she'd been given a sex change. she says, my agent, Giorgio Fista, was furious when he heard about it, but when he came to see me in the clinic, he changed his mind and renamed me Johnny Czar on the spot, Dr. Lorinda's patient said. At first I felt suicidal. Who, after all, would choose to be a man, she said. Then things began to look up and I was given the part of a fisherman in a TV series. Well, interviewed outside his clinic, Dr. Lorinda said there is not a word of truth in the allegation that I work while on cocaine. When I saw Ms. Zarto on the operating table, I thought, she should be a man, and I set to work. He says, I am good, I am quick, I am cheap. Everybody in the town of Chacha respects me. Which, really, it brings a new meaning to the old doctor's words. This won't hurt you, I'm just going to give you a little prick.
Right.
if it's not toast being scraped at people lighting cigarettes. Susie and the Banshees, The Passenger, an old Iggy Pop song. And lighting his cigarettes so noisily in the background, the intrepid Birdman, who will be here in a very short period of time indeed. Something for us all to look forward to.
I'm here already, Terry.
Good grief.
How are you?
You finished your toast then?
Yes, yes, it was delicious.
Yeah, all right for some.
I was just finishing the Sunday joint.
Quite. So, now, Mr. Birdman.
Yes.
What can we expect in the next hour?
Well,
our regular listener.
Yes, the usual mixture of mayhem and madness. I thought this week, do-it-yourself surgery, since I cut my finger earlier in the week, it had a very profound effect on me. It occurred to me that there are so many little things that one can do for oneself. You know, you can never trust the experts implicitly. I mean, they made such a mess of mending my motorcycle engine, I discovered I could do the job much better myself. So I thought, why not surgery? You know, why not do it yourself?
I can imagine you'd be pretty hot on that.
Yeah, so I thought this week we would do a do-it-yourself surgical course.
Yeah, I can see you with a scalpel in your hand, actually.
It belongs to our engineer, actually. We're thinking of making a totem pole.
So that's all coming up with you in the next hour. We'd be delighted to hear, I'm sure. Well, already America is wondering who will succeed Ronald Reagan as president. This week there were rumours that Gary Hart may try to put himself forward again. He's got about as much chance as Cecil Parkinson had of getting back in the cabinet. Oh, yeah. But the hopes of George Bush becoming president were delivered a blow this week. According to latest research, it says that the race to the White House next year will be battled out by Vice President Bush and a cat. Morris, who's a cat, he's famous for his cat food commercials in America. He handsomely beat all other 15 presidential hopefuls in a recognition poll in America this week. A TV station showed pictures of 14 leading political figures and also a picture of Morris the cat, and more people recognised Morris than any of the politicians. So we could have President Morris in about 18 months' time. Couldn't do much of a worse job, though, getting the current incumbent still. This is ACT at Snobbery and Decay.
Champagne dreams, caviar wishes, what's the goal for rags to riches? Money to burn, money to give away.
Lifestyles of the rich and famous, look at them. Who can blame us? Lessons in the subject.
new-ish single from ACT, Snobbery and Decay. It's Claudia Bruken from Propaganda and Thomas Lear from Thomas Lear, I suppose, really. And their amalgamation on ZTT Records. On the sleeve notes, they try and impress you with how hip Claudia Bruken is. They try to tell you that she wears Chanel. Unfortunately, they've spelt Chanel with two N's, so it reads Claudia Bruken wears Channel, which is probably pongs quite a lot more than Chanel, I should think. I was driving through the back streets, the wilds of Berkshire, the hinterland, earlier this week, and this chap drove right across me. And it was a sort of multiple accident. I was just lucky to avoid it. And similarly, consequently to this, I was interested to read in the Daily Telegraph about this business they're doing in France at the moment, Operation Good Driving. And in this, the French police decided to give substantial cash prizes to the good and careful drivers they observed. But the Minister of Transport, Monsieur Pierre Magnery, said that the operation was an absolute failure. The motorway patrols could find no one to recommend. One driver was spotted, but he increased his speed to 80 and drove into the thickest traffic to try and get away from them. They thought he was trying to be flagged down. And they could find nobody who was wearing a seatbelt or not one person keeping within the speed limit. And finally, the Orly group found a man who was within seconds of getting the prize when, for no reason at all, he went straight through three red lights and was given a heavy fine instead of the £50 prize. I don't know if they do anything like that in this country. I suspect the results would be the same. There'd be nobody to give the prize to, the standard of driving that I see. Coming towards the end now, the Intrepid Birdman coming up soon. It's the Style Council first, though, and Speak Like a Child.
I mean nothing to you. You believe you're above it, and I don't really blame you. Maybe that's why you speak like a child. The things you're saying, like I'm so free and so wild. And I believe it when you look in my eyes. You offer me life, I never lies. It's not only the kind to make me smile. You're clean and your mind is productive. Shops and stores where
time's a funny old thing, isn't it? That's the Style Council and Speak Like a Child. A little earlier on, I was telling about the magazine, which we got a good review this week, and I said I'd give you the address again a bit later on in case you want to send off for it. The magazine's called Radio Today, and as I said earlier, I believe it is on sale at the Virgin Megastore in Oxford Street, but if you want to write off for a copy and read the review of Clockwork Wireless and a lot more besides, actually, all about radio in the UK. The address to send off to is Radio Today, TX Publications, BCM Box 225, London WC1N 3XX. And you have to enclose £1.50. To cover the cost of the magazine and postage. Okay, let's move quickly on here, speeding up. Just about it from me, Terry Anderson. I'll be back next week. The Intrepid Birdman coming up very, very shortly. He has a lot in his programme. DIY surgery and Hilly's hot gossip as well. So that's all to look forward to. And I'll see you next week, Sunday at 7. So from me, goodbye.
A remarkable performance.
That was a performance?